Picture the scene. Friday evening, the eve of America's 250th birthday. A brand new Air Force One roars low over the granite faces of Mount Rushmore, and the crowd goes up. Below it, 4,800 people, winners of a lottery that drew 21 applicants for every single seat, wait for the memorial's first fireworks in 6 years. And the President of the United States steps to the podium to celebrate the most exceptional nation ever to exist, and to warn that the deadliest threat it has ever faced is already inside it. Not World War II, not Pearl Harbor, not 9/11, communism. And, he says, it is already here. You're listening to Civic Intelligence, where the receipts do the arguing. Today, one speech. President Donald Trump, Republican, at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd. The celebration of 250 years of America. The warning about a communist menace that turns out to have a very real address. And the Democratic Socialist mayor who proved the president's point from New York that very same night. The night belonged to the country. Officially, it was a State of South Dakota and National Park Service production, the Freedom 250. Mount Rushmore Fireworks Celebration, the kickoff to a weekend marking 250 years since the Declaration of Independence. And Americans wanted in. Those 4,800 tickets were awarded by an online lottery back in April, and 102,991 people applied, roughly 21 hopefuls for every seat. That is not a nation tired of itself. The Air Force Academy Band played. Armed Services tributes filled the hours before he arrived. And when the president took the stage, he thanked a row of Republicans, Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota, Senator Mike Rounds, Governor Larry Roden, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and his Interior Secretary, Doug Burgum, Republican. Roden, who hosted, said that when Trump returned to office, quote, "It was like a light switch went on. Suddenly, we were able to accomplish things with our federal agencies," end quote. Then came the toast. Trump touted what he described as $19.2 trillion in investments, new tariffs, and a wave of factory construction, and he called the United States the oldest republic on earth, a superlative historians would quibble with, and one we flag as his claim. Then the line that led the next morning's coverage, quote, "By the grace of God, the United States of America is the most successful, most accomplished, most exceptional nation ever to exist in human history. And it is great to be your president." End quote. On America's 250th birthday, standing under those four carved faces, that is a fair thing for a president to say out loud. The full remarks ran about 30 minutes, 3,590 words. And roughly midway through, the celebration turned to a warning. This is the part the president wanted the country to hear. Trump told the crowd, quote, "There is now a resurgence of the communist menace in our land, including from newcomers to our country who embrace ideas totally opposed to our way of life and our great success." End quote. He was not speaking into thin air, and here is where the show's point of view earns its keep. The Democratic Socialist left has been winning real elections in America's biggest cities. And its single most prominent winner, the newly elected mayor of New York, was standing behind a podium of his own that very night. When the president said the threat was real and present, he had, as it happens, a living example. We'll get to him. Trump escalated from there. He called communism a mortal threat to American liberty, and this is his ranking, quoted and attributed to him, "The greatest threat the country has ever faced, greater than World War I, World War II, Pearl Harbor, or even 9/11. Communism, he said, is the enemy of the Constitution and the enemy of July 4, 1776, and such doctrines can be given no quarter in a democracy. The line the crowd cheered loudest was the bluntest, quote, "You can be loyal to Karl Marx, or you can be loyal to America. You can be a communist, or you can be a patriot. You cannot be both," end quote. And the speech carried one concrete ask. Trump pressed the Senate to end the legislative filibuster and pass the Save America Act, a bill requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. It cleared the House 218 to 213 in February, then died in the Senate in June, blocked short of the 60 votes it needed, a defeat that has put him at odds with his own majority leader, John Thune, who won't touch the filibuster. Trump's pitch was characteristically confident, quote, "If we terminate the filibuster, as we should do, and immediately vote for the Save America Act, then we will not lose an election for 100 years," end quote. So who was he warning about? Here the record deserves precision. The transcript is clear, and the Associated Press, The Hill, and the transcript of record all confirm that Trump named no one in the communism passage. He didn't need to. The Hill read the no quarter language as a pointed warning to a rising crop of Democratic candidates running openly as Democratic socialists, the same movement whose electoral wins Trump has been sounding the alarm about for months. And the marquee winner was, at that hour, standing behind George Washington's desk. Mayor Zohran Mamdani, Democrat, the Democratic socialist who won New York City, America's largest, in November 2025, delivered his own America 250 address from behind Washington's desk at City Hall. Let that image sit a second. A Democratic socialist, borrowing the desk of the first president to counter-program the fireworks in South Dakota. Mamdani cast the anniversary as unfinished business. Quote, "The work of fulfilling the values first enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, that work endures and it belongs to us all," end quote. And he wasn't the only Democrat running a split screen. Maryland Governor Wes Moore, Democrat, scheduled a competing address for the same hour and complained that the president is disinterested in bringing the country together. If you were looking for the resurgence the president described, the evening handed it to you on two screens at once. Then the optimism half of the message got a physical exhibit, Washington, D.C. itself. In a Fox News piece the next day, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, a former North Dakota governor, put the case plainly, quote, "Nations don't crumble by fate, they decline by choice," end quote. Under an executive order Trump signed in March 2025, the administration says it has cleaned or renovated 45 monuments and memorials, 28 statues, and 22 fountains, scrubbed 510 instances of graffiti, cleared 154 homeless encampments, and spent $14.7 million restoring the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool. Those tallies are the administration's own, supplied by the Interior Department and the White House, not an independent audit. Attribution noted. But a Capitol getting its monuments cleaned and its fountains running again is exactly the argument Burgum wanted to make. Decline is a choice, and so is renewal. The other side did get a shot in the day before. House Democrats on the Natural Resources Committee rushed out a report alleging that Freedom 250, the task force that helped run the celebration, was a hotbed of corruption and self-enrichment, claiming the Interior Department routed at least $68.3 million to the National Park Foundation. We'll note the one thing they were careful to leave out: any proof. It is a committee allegation, unadjudicated, dropped on the eve of the party. Make of the timing what you will. There was, finally, a lighter subplot. A White House spokeswoman floated that there'd be no better addition to the iconic Mount Rushmore than Trump himself. And the president posted a gilded video of his own face carved beside Lincoln's. CNN checked with the engineers, who reported the idea has stalled on a stubborn geological fact. The mountain is out of carvable rock. Call it showmanship. Nobody was actually reaching for a chisel. One more contrast is worth marking. In 2020, the last time Trump spoke at this mountain, the night ended in a road blockade clash and arrests. This year, organizers set aside a First Amendment area for protesters, and not a single one showed up. The fireworks came back after 6 years. The crowd went home happy, and the loudest thing left in the Black Hills was the president's closing line, quote, "Here in the Black Hills of the Dakotas, after 250 years, American freedom still rings," end quote. The bottom line. On the eve of the 250th, the President of the United States called America the most exceptional nation ever to exist. A sincere, expansive birthday toast to a country more than 100,000 people had tried to get into for one night of fireworks. And he warned that a communist and socialist resurgence has taken root at home. You don't have to take his word for the warning. The receipts delivered themselves the same night. The Democratic socialist, now running America's largest city, stood up behind George Washington's desk to answer him. The superlatives are the president's, quoted and attributed. The crowd, the lottery, the returned fireworks, and the empty protest pen are the verifiable facts around them. 250 years in, America threw itself a party, and the president named the thing he believes could end it. Every quote in this episode, the exceptional nation line, the communist menace ranking, Mamdani's counter-address, Burgum's restoration tallies, is drawn from the transcript of record and the reporting linked in the print version. Read every source for yourself at civicintelligence.news. And if you want the next accountability story read to you, subscribe. New episodes wherever you get your podcasts.